Anybody? What might be an aspect of the vision that I want us to all have? Just, I don't know, random accident from looking up at the screen there.
I think of a couple things.
No, what's up on the screen?
Serve.
Right, serve, being a servant. And let's see if we have any Bible experts. What passage are we going to go to? What passage are we going to go to? The towel. That's not about a baptism, by the way. That's not what that's about.
Or a bath.
All right, a bath. Oh, well, somebody should know what passage we're going to go to. Okay. Well, when we get there, you're going to have, it's in John. That's right, it's in John. Yeah, John chapter 13. Washing the disciples' feet. John 13, 12 through 15. Again, I hope to speak for only about 20 minutes, maybe 25 at the most, because I want us, we're going to, you'll see what we're going to do. We're going to do two little visioning sessions there. All right, so John 13, 12 through 15. One thing Jesus did very effectively is he gave his followers a vision. A vision. So that's what we want to talk about. John 13, 12 through 15. When he had finished washing their feet, I'm assuming you know this story, right? He washed their feet, right? Took a towel out. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if you don't wash your feet, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in my kingdom. He says, great, wash my feet and my whole body as well. And then Jesus very, very humbly takes out a towel and touches their dirty feet to clean them. Okay, got it? When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes. By the way, he didn't take off all his clothes, all right? He just took off the outer garment to do this thing, all right? That's part of the humility. All right, put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example. They should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You know, we're kind of a young club. We just started a year ago. We're kind of a ragtag crew, I guess. Probably nobody would think we're a big force to be reckoned with, but I believe that this club is going to be a powerful force on this campus. And it's going to make a difference on this campus. And being part of this club is going to make a difference in your life. And that this campus is never going to be quite the same because of what we were going to be doing. And talk about a ragtag group. Jesus had those 12, right? Some fishermen. Fishermen, they're kind of smelly. That's one problem. He had a tax collector. And tax collectors were scum of the earth, right? And he had a zealot. Well, it's good to be zealous, but this guy was part of a group that was probably like a terrorist group. Yeah, that's not so cool. And a few other random Galileans. But Jesus cast a vision for this group. And what's part of his vision according to this passage? Yeah, but I don't think that his vision had to do with literal foot washing. I don't think so. Yes, go ahead. Right. Very good. All right. A little bit more specific, but I agree with you. Part of it, the vision he gave them was to be like him, to act like him, do the whole, you know, what would Jesus do? That's a little trite, you know, but what would Jesus do is a pretty awesome thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, but also mention, like, not only to our fellow servants, but also, like, enemies alike, be with them as well, in a sense, being close to God, because Judas was a traitor. Well,
right.
He washed his feet, and so.
Right.
He was an example.
Whatever it is, and we need to have an individual vision, and we will. We'll talk about that tonight, your own vision for yourself. We'll talk about a vision for this club, all right? But in the end, it has to involve serving. It has to involve humility, right? So I'm going to talk about two aspects of vision. We're going to have two little breakout sessions, all right? First is our vision for our own personal life. In other words, what's your vision? What do you think God has in mind for you to do with your life? Now, for younger people, that's harder to figure out. I know that. For older people, generally, it's easier to figure out. But I just want to spend some time doing that. All right, and I'll go over a couple passages about that. But then I also want to do some dreaming about what God can do through this club. I did this. Jen and I moved to Bakersfield a few years ago to lead a church there, and they didn't know us at all. In the very first session, we got together, and I think they thought we were going to tell them what we were going to do when we got there. And like I said, I have no agenda. I have no agenda. All right, so what we're going to do is we want you to tell us what you want this church to do. So I want you to tell us what you want Alpha Omega to do. And whatever we come up with, that's what we're going to do. All right? That's what we're going to do. To the extent that it's possible, it's what you all want us to do. That's what we're going to be doing. Okay? So, 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. So I want to talk about our own personal goal in our life. Okay? God wants us to be fulfilled in our relationship with Him as individuals and in our life and what we do. But God also wants us to be fulfilled as a body. You know, I was reading in Ephesians 2 earlier this week, and it says that God dwells in the body as a temple. We're all being built into a temple. So God works through individuals and individuals' lives and their visions and goals for their lives. But also God works through groups, all right, to have a group vision, and the Holy Spirit dwells within groups. All right, got it? So 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. All right, so like I said, we're going to have two little vision sessions, and I want you to maybe put a marker in 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 and to use this as a guide in your sort of personal vision little part of this. Okay, got it? All right. Here's what Peter says. This is his advice to the church. It says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. I'm sorry, let me include verse 10. It's really important to include verse 10. I apologize. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. So I believe this, that because it says in Ephesians 2, 10 and 11 that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. Can we get an amen for that?
Amen.
All right, but he does say we were saved to do good works that God prepared for us. And my conviction is the good work that God prepared for you to do involves the gift that he gave you. Whatever that is. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. Because I'm 68 years old, folks. I'm old. All right? I'm old. Yeah. I'm too old to be leading any kind of campus ministry. That's for sure. Way too old. But amen. God's using us and it's great. All right. But about 25 years ago, I decided that my gift was teaching. And having read 1 Peter 4:10 through 12, I decided this is going to be my ministry. So in the last 25 years, if you know me, I have put a lot of energy and a lot of my time into developing my teaching ministry. So I started writing books. I started traveling all over the world. I've now taught the Bible in 84 countries. I've written 16 books. All that in those last 25 years. And if you know me, I give my heart, my soul. I've gone to some crazy places, folks. I've gone to some dangerous places. I've gone to countries that you're not even supposed to go to, that the CIA said, don't go there. All right? More than once. Once I even took my daughter to a country the CIA said. I didn't know yet that the CIA said. But that's a whole other story. Because I am committed to using the gift that God has given me. And if your gift is serving, then you need to flat out serve. If your gift is counseling people, then you need to get your degree in counseling. And don't apologize that you're going to get a master's degree because you're going to put your energy and time developing your gift because God is going to use you in that way. If your gift is fixing cars, then I say you should start the car fixing ministry and you're going to fix cars for Jesus.
Woo!
And you're going to have a free car fixing clinic on Saturday morning. Come, I'll fix your car. The only thing is you got to come to church. You'll have more visitors at church than anybody else because you're using your car fixing gift to serve the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Jan has a number of gifts, but one of her gifts is putting on events just yeah. putting on great events and hospitality for Jesus. And would it be fair to say, if you know her, she does it with all of her heart? Absolutely. If I had time, I'd like to tell you all those stories about Jan doing that. And I will sometime, but I'm not going to do that right now. Amen. All right. So we're going to have this session. I'm not going to do it right away because I'm going to do the other thing, the other Bible study. Then we'll have our two sessions. But when you're in that session, I want you to share with each other what you feel like, at least at this point, the best you can tell what God's gift is that he's given you. And then just have an imagination session with each other of what God's going to do with your life. You're probably like 18 or 19, right? Yeah. All right. If you live to be 88, you got 70 years to go, man. What are you going to do with that time, right? This is the time. Really? I mean, what are you here for? To make a lot of money? Come on, give me a break. You're here to be developed into a better person. The purpose of college is to become smarter than you were before, so you can do more. Anyway, let me stop on that. So I want to do part two, where Jesus is going to give his disciples a purpose, sort of a group purpose. That's going to be the other half of our visioning. That's going to be our main Bible study. By the way, on this first topic, I like what Howard Thurman said. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and do it. All right? Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. One of my favorite stories, this is from a book. This is a movie that was before any of you were born, except maybe Michael and Jan and I. It's Chariots of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, it's a movie about this young track star. It's in the 20s, and he was Scottish. And he and his best friend, Ben Abrahams, were like the top two sprinters in the world at the Olympics. But it turns out that one of the warm-up races to get into the finals was on Sunday. He said, no, I don't race on Sunday. He gave up his gold medal because of that. Well, I don't know about the whole Sabbath thing. I'm not going to get into the doctrine there. But the point is, my favorite quote in that movie is, he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He's a great runner, so he ran for Jesus, and he used his running as a vehicle to help people become Christians. It's funny, I taught this lesson, he's from Edinburgh, and there's the building dedicated, it's Eric Little. So I taught this lesson at the Eric Little Auditorium, which was sort of cool, but anyway. So, good. So like that, don't ask what the world needs, although that's a good question to ask. That's not relevant for you necessarily. Ask what makes you come alive and then just go out and do it. Do it for the Lord. Because what the world needs is people who've come alive. And honestly, if you know me, I'm pretty devoted to that thing that I love to do, and I use my energy to do it for God. All right, so here we go. So Jesus gives a sense of mission to us individually and then as a group. Luke 9, 1 through 6. So I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at Jesus giving a vision to his, in quotes, guys. Forgive me for saying guys here, but it just happens they were guys. I apologize. Hopefully women will not feel left out of this because that's not at all what we're trying to do here. But he was a guy and they were guys, so there you go. So he's given a vision to his guys. Luke 9, 1 through 6. I'm just going to read some passages and make very little comment. We're just going to read them. Here you go. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out. They went from village to village. And they went from dormitory to dormitory. And from the scholar's walk to the whatever way. And they went from the library at Merced College to the nursing building or whatever. Because we have Merced College people here as well. All right. Proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. He said, take nothing for the journey. He's there. Be committed to what you're doing. I want us to come up with a vision for this club tonight. And I want us to be committed to what we're going to be doing. Now, I understand different people are going to have different levels of commitment. You just came here for the first time. I mean, I'm telling you, you have to give up everything to be part of it. All right. So, for what it's worth. But if we're going to do anything worthwhile, we have to do it as a group, and we have to be committed to doing that, right? So Jesus says, don't even bring a staff or a bag or bread or money or shirt. Just get out there and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then Luke 9:57-62. When Jesus gave a vision, he was expecting people to be all in. All right? We just read this passage just tonight with Miguel, but I'm going to read it again. As they're walking along the road. So basically it says, all right, let's go out and do it. Let's go out and evangelize this campus and make a difference in the world, make a difference in this community, make a difference in Merced, make a difference in Merced County. Now they're out doing it. Let's see what happened. As they're walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, great, that's so awesome. I'm so glad you're here. Amazing. Join up with us. Well, not exactly. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Well, thanks a lot. All right. Jesus expected people to be committed to what they were doing. And he said to another man, follow me. And he replied, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I mean, it seems like a pretty reasonable request, Let me go bury my father. The problem is, he said, Lord, before I commit to you, first, fill in the blank. And what Jesus is asking of those who are following him is to say, Lord, I'm with you. I'm in. I'm all in. Not first. And so he said, let the dead bury their dead. Now, what he's saying is, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus gave a powerful vision. Crazy stuff. And then another one said, verse 61, I will follow you, Lord, but, Mistake city. He says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first, let me make sure that I get, straight A's. And by the way, I'm a big believer in I'm a college professor. Come on now, One of the things we might do this is talk about how to do well in school. Amen. That's important. But I will follow you, Lord. End of story, right? He says, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, I am completely convinced that if he said, amen, let's go. Oh, Jesus, do you think I should say goodbye to my family? He said, yeah, please, come on. Go say goodbye to your family. Yeah, absolutely. That's not the point, right? The point is, Jesus says, if we're going to get involved in this mission, we're going to get involved in this vision, he says, you need to be all in, right? Crazy stuff. And then in Luke 10:1-4, he sends them out. Excuse me. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him to go to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. And then in verse 17-24, he sends them out and he follows up with them. Hey, how'd it go? Let's report back. Hey, we did orientation day. How many people did we get to sign up for our club? And we had Bible. How'd it go? We had that Bible talk at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. How'd it go? We put on this event. We're going to have our park thing, and we're going to. By the way, we gave food to the needy today. We're going to work with Catholic services, all that kind of stuff. How'd it go? They did some follow-up. And then in Luke 11:1-4, you know what he taught him to do? He taught him to pray, right? Luke 11:1-4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. By the way, have these guys ever prayed before? Yeah, hundreds of times. But they saw Jesus' life. They said, we want to pray like you pray, Jesus. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, praise be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. By the way, this was not supposed to be a thing you say by rote, just say blah, 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 blah. You can do that if you want, but he's just giving them a pattern, a prayer for God's kingdom, his will to be done, to praise him, to pray for our daily needs and things like that. Got it? And then he gave them a vision. He gave them a purpose, right? And what is our purpose? Well, actually, there's a number of passages in the Gospels where Jesus said what his purpose was. But we're going to read one of them. It's Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. All right, and this is when Jesus is talking to the little guy, right? Zacchaeus, mm-hmm. Right? Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." All right, and, you know, this is a social club. We do a lot of fun stuff. We do a lot of fun stuff. And by the way, we do fun stuff that's not even on the schedule. I mean, it's constant. After tonight, I'm sure they're going to go out and have fun. Jan and I are going to go home and sleep, but these students are going to have fun. We do what? Friday night, we're doing our scavenger hunt. We're going to do Ultimate Frisbee, dodgeball, minute to win it. This is a social club. It's a very social club. But it's not just a social club, right? Mm-hmm. What's our purpose? To seek and save what was lost. Jesus gave them a vision. So whatever vision you come up with for us as a group tonight, I hope it'll be something at least that has that an element there. Acts 1, 7 through 8. This is blow away stuff, folks. Acts 1, 7 through 8. All right. And by the way, for some of us, you were at our Bible group on Tuesday night. We actually read this passage. Mm-hmm. I'm going back there because over half of us weren't there. I'm going back to Acts 1, 7 through 8. Acts 1, 7 through 8. Uh-oh. I have to finish in about 3 or 4 minutes. Oh, no. Oh. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times." They're asking him, "Hey, when are you going to come back?" And all this sort of end time stuff. What about eschatology? And what about the signs? And, you know, when's the return? He's like, "Dudes and dudettes, don't worry about that stuff. That is not important." He said this. He said, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We ain't going to the ends of the earth the next few months. All right, but we're getting prepared. Some of us are going to go to the ends of the earth. All right, and so this is, the Alpha Omega Club is a launching pad. It's a launching pad for us to find out how we can serve God. All right, point number two, which I'm going to have to basically, I'm just going to tell you what I would have read because, basically, Jesus says, he gives them a vision, and then he says, "Now let's go out and flat out do it." Luke 9:51. Just really quickly, just a couple of passages. I'm going to skip most of the ones on that list there. Luke 9:51. Jesus set about his mission resolutely. Jesus was very, very resolute. You know what resolute means? That means, ain't nobody getting in my way, and if they do, well, hopefully I won't walk over them because that's not very polite, but I am not going to stop doing what I'm here to do. Luke 9, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority, to drive out demons. Oh, yeah, we already read that one. Sorry. No wonder. I'm reading the wrong page. Sorry, Luke 9:51. Did I say 51?
Yeah.
Okay, Luke 9:51. There you go. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, when Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem, nothing was going to stop him. What was he planning on doing in Jerusalem? To die. He says, you know, Jesus said many times, "My time has not yet come." Your time to go evangelize the world hasn't come because you got the next 4 years. You're going to be here in school, man. You're going to be working your butt off. You're going to be getting trained. Amen for that. But Jesus says, "I'm going to Jerusalem." I really like what he said there in Luke. I'm going to skip the other ones. I'm going to go to Luke 31 through 33. This is so funny. Luke 13, 31 through 33. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, well, the school rule says you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And besides, I hear that there's a COVID thing. And did you know about the economy? And did you hear we have an election coming up? And, you know, it's global warming and blah, 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 blah. All right. Pharisees came to him and said, leave this place and go somewhere else. But Herod wants to kill you. But he replied, go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. Which was, by the way, Jerusalem, where he died. All right. So we're going to do two things. All right, we're going to form groups of three or four. And then what I want us to do is just talk amongst yourselves. We'll do this for about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And then even you could say a brief prayer if you want to. What's your vision for yourself? All right. In other words, what can you see God doing through you 5 years from now, 15 years from now, 50 years from now? Hopefully it'll be based on what you think the gift God has given you might be. Okay, got it? So we do that for 10 or 15 minutes. And that's going to just be personal. You won't share that out with a group. You could share it later. Then we're going to break that up. We're going to form new groups. Then we're going to form a vision goal for this club. And we're going to share that. We're going to even write it down. You're going to have a group spokesperson. We see this club doing this year. Okay, got it? So let's break, form groups of three or four, and just share what you think God has in mind for your life. What you can see God doing you. This is totally on you. You're only going to be talking about yourself, and it's not selfish because I just told you to. Okay, got it? So let's do that for about 10 or 15 minutes. All right, three or four, groups of three or four. All right, we got groups of three. That's too big a group, too big. Two separate groups. No, three and three. Three and three. However you do three and three, do three and three. Daniel, with those guys. I'll join your group, Daniel. Are you not feeling into this thing right now? It's okay if you don't. All right, that's fine. That's fine.
That's a vision.
For yourself, yeah. What do you see God doing through you?